So how do we experience? So if you've got your notes, I hope you can have a look together. It's the actual Tennyson New Creation Church is on the backside. So look at slide one. And it's just about how do we experience right living under the new covenant grace. Slide two, please. Thanks. In the book of Romans, Paul, we've been studying the book of Romans and just finished it in our Bible college. It's just one day a week, and we've had such a glorious time this year. And Paul gives us 8 chapters of, you know, right teaching. And I love what Joseph Prince has coined this phrase. I guess he got it from someone else. There's nothing new under the sun. But right teaching produces right believing, produces right living. You want to say it with me? Right teaching produces right believing, produces... Of course, you know, you can have right teaching, and if people don't want to accept it, of course, it doesn't produce that. And so we are involved in that in some way, in the fact that we grab hold of right teaching. I remember I used to sing this song when I was brought up. I came to the Lord Billy Graham Crusade in 1959. I was 11. And I remember I used to sing this song a lot. Lord, take my life and make it wholly thine. Wrong theology, shouldn't have sung it. It's already been made holy. Hello? Already been made holy. So it's really interesting to know that what I was singing, and the Lord must have thought, well, if you'd only read the scriptures, young fella, it tells you in Hebrews and other places in Romans that we have been made holy. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Now, I know that might hurt a few of you that were brought up about the same vintage as me, but that's the process I've been through. I've almost had to sort of, and then it was, fill my poor heart with thy great love divine. Wrong. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit has been shed abroad in our hearts. So what grace has done for me, it's lifted me out of always wanting to be pleasing to the Lord to know that I am pleasing to the Lord. That he has done a finished work. Would you give him a hand, please? He has done. It's a done deal. He's done a finished work. So what we're experiencing in grace is we're shifting now from being at sort of the beginning and wanting, always wanting, even like the song we sang this morning, oh my soul, worship his holy name. We don't worship with our soul. We don't worship. The Bible said he's seeking those who worship in spirit and in truth. Now, I know the sentiment of that song is really good, and we can enter into that. But in actual fact, you know, bless the Lord, oh my soul. We actually don't bless the Lord with our soul. Actual fact, we bless him with our spirit. He seeks those who worship in spirit and in truth. But then the soul can get involved. So it doesn't worry me to sing that beautifully, but I love to sing and I love melodies and I love to dance and I don't care what other people think. As an older man, you see me dance around the church, I'm quite secure about that. It doesn't worry me. If it offended someone, I might stop, but no one's ever said it offended them. But what I want to say is I'm very careful now in what I sing, because I realized that for a long time, I never presented myself as the final product. It was always, you know, you take this one. Well, no, this is a different song, but I love this song. This is a good song, but I never realized what I was singing. More about Jesus would I know. More of his grace to others show. More of his saving fullness see. Man, that is a beautiful song. More of his saving fullness. See, that's what grace has done for me. More of his saving fullness. See, more of his love who's died for me. So I began to see in the saving of God that it is a full done deal. Amen? So I would love you to join with me as we look into Romans chapter 12. You can open your Bibles if you got all your screens and look at Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2. And I'm just going to give you a quick lead up. I feel really full of rejoicing today, maybe just because it's Diane coming home tomorrow. It's more than that. And then, so he teaches us, you know, things like we're justified by grace. There's no condemnation. You know, Romans 8, Romans 5, we can reign in life now. We have our well-being, chapter 15, verse 35. So that's not in chapter the first eight chapters, but the first eight chapters is all about how we were, how we needed to be justified by faith and that the works of the law cannot justify us. Is that true? Is that true? Is that right teaching? So Paul hammers it home in his, what they call interlocutory style, in his barrister style, like he's what would you call, what's the word, a case, when, prosecuting a case, yes, adversarial, prosecuting a case. So what am I saying right at the introduction? I'd like to get you. What I'm saying is I've had to change my teaching since 5.5 years ago. You know, someone bought me a nice cup and it said, awesome teacher. I think it was Tui. And she gave me this big cup and I've been drinking all my tea out as I've been watching Australia get thrashed by South Africa in the cricket, you know. And but, you know, my teaching for years and years and years was all about struggling to be more. Now I need to enjoy who I am. I need to enjoy that I'm the finished product. Now, can this finished product be polished up and shone a bit? Oh, I'm sure it can. And it can glow even more. And can sanctification be more manifested? Yes, it can. So there is a changing process. But as to the basics of who I am, that is a done deal. And I never knew that. And my dear mother, who loved to sing, and her sister was a great singer too, but Linda and I's mum loved to sing, and she taught us Sunday school, and you know, she was fantastic. I never forget. I always wish my dad was around to be in a church like this, because my dad would have loved knowing about grace and understanding what we understand today. And this thing about salvation is actually means well-being in every area of your life. Amen. Last night I woke this morning at 2 o'clock, and you know, my hands went up to the Lord, and because I was breathing through my nose when I woke. My pillow was not covered with stuff. I didn't have night sweats, which I had had week after week, year after year. And I hated going to sleep for 5.5 years, knowing that I would wake up in the night and wish I wasn't in bed. So last night I had eight. I went to bed at 9 o'clock, and I got up at 5 o'clock this morning. So nice to breathe properly. You know, amen. Let's thank the Lord for that healing. It's just so lovely. So when we present ourselves to God, we're to present the real thing. All right, here we go. What I'm going to do is I'm going to show you a few Greek words, and the reason why, I make no apology for this, because sometimes the translation, which started off with the King James, and then it goes into all sorts of other versions, etc., sometimes the translation, when you look at the original words, doesn't seem to say now what it's meant to say. And also, the English language has evolved. For instance, the word gay, we had a gay time. We wouldn't say that now. You know, there's several songs like things, words that that mean have double meanings or different meanings or have evolved to have a different. So Romans 12 starts this, I beseech you therefore. Now what does beseech? We never use beseech, do we? We don't use, does anybody use that in your language, I beseech you? When you talk to your husband or your wife, your spouse, or to your children, do you say, now listen here, I beseech you? No, we wouldn't say that. But Paul uses it a lot in Romans. I think about five times in Romans, three, if not five times. And he uses this word, therefore, 28 times in Romans. And these are key words, but in our understanding, beseech sounds like, I beg of you. Would you think that means that? I beg, but it doesn't mean that. It means I ask you or I invite you. That's a lot softer. I invite you to come with me for lunch today. Or if I went up to you today and say, I beseech you to come to lunch with me.
Thank you.
In other words, I don't care where else you're going, you've got to drop it all and do it. It sounds a lot more sort of military, beseech. Or passionate, perhaps, because he was a passionate person, Paul. You can tell that in his writings. But that language has sort of evolved, or it's going out of our vocabulary, isn't it? And for those of you who English is not number one, or not your mother tongue, I'll guarantee you've probably never used that word, I beseech you. But Paul does. He says, I beseech you. And so we think, what is this, beseech you? And so some of them say, I appeal to you. The best word is, I invite you. Anyhow, we'll look at it. So right living comes out of right teaching and right believing. So there's a couple of things in there. And so I want to just have a look then. In the last 3.5 chapters, Paul goes on. He's taught all about right teaching and right believing. And then he goes on into right living. So I'd love you to have a look with me and watch and enjoy as Paul gives us this insight how we can experience right living. Next slide. Thanks. Here it is. So this word beseech, so the King James says, I don't read the King James, I read the Amplified Version, and that helps me a bit, but I beseech you, therefore, brothers or brethren, okay? And this word beseech is para. So that means to call near or alongside, para, and kaleo, or pa ekaleo, to invite, to call for or call near, to come and stand beside, or it's an appeal or a desire that he says, I would desire you. All right, next one. Now here's the therefore. I beseech you, therefore. Now, this therefore is what we always say, you know, if you see a therefore, you want to know why it's therefore. So there's something came ahead of it. So this therefore, in his argument, in the prosecution of his case, that we are not righteous through the law, but we're righteous through faith in Christ. So he's given all that and he's prosecuted his case for both the Jews and the Gentiles. And then he says, therefore, or I beseech you, therefore. And that word is un. You want us to have a go at that one? Un. Un. Okay? And it's a conjunction. Do you remember what a conjunction is? It joins two sort of thoughts together or two ideas together. Or it's a joining word. And it means, in the light of what I have taught you, I invite you. In the light of what I have taught you. So he's got this big scroll. And Tertius was the scribe, and he's got this massive big scroll, no verse numbers, no chapter numbers, just a big scroll. And he's writing it at Corinth in AD 57. There's, you know, nearly 2,000 years ago. He's writing this 3 months at Corinth, and he's got a scribe called Tertius. And I suppose he had repeated several times, etc. And then finally the guy would get it and he would write it down. And so, you know, therefore, discover why it's therefore. And basically saying, in the light of the last 8 chapters, but there were no chapters. So in the light of everything I have said in my case to have right believing, which comes from right living, you know, to be righteous by faith and to have victory over sin. Romans 6:14 says, you know, sin shall not have dominion over you because you're now under grace, right? So these are all new teachings for both Jew and Gentile. And so then he says, I beseech you, therefore, means in the light of everything I've taught you, I want to bring you into another area, which was the area of right living. All right? So let's go to the next one. That you, or brethren, which can mean men and women in that case, but readers, particularly as readership, okay, to present yourself. Now, this is probably the key word of this passage, because it's paristeme. You can see it there, paristeme, and it literally means to show. To present yourself means to exhibit yourself or to show. Now, I've been thinking about, now see this verse here, it says Romans 6:13. So Romans 12:1 and 2 are particularly, or Romans 12:1 is really a take up of that one, Romans 6:13b. And your bodily members and faculties to God, presenting them. So what does this word present mean? Over here, I've got something which I just want to very quickly say. A few years ago, before I did come into understanding grace, and it is like a second conversion for me, because it's totally changed my life and taken a lot of struggle and stress out of my life. It really has. I've always known that God is good, but, you know, to know He is that good, that's what grace has done for me. Really. And so when I retired from pastoring years ago, I decided that I would work helping get land for retirement villages. I did that for 3 years, and then I did this. And so I got these barrels. And if you go, please, to, let me see, you might like to go to slide 9 and 10. And you'll see one of these barrels. Slide 9 and 10. Yeah, so that one is that one there, see? And that was a reject barrel. I couldn't get the real hard mould from right inside there. Very difficult. But some of these came up beautifully. And I would take the rust of them. And I did this in my garage. Here I am in the garage, you know, about 6 or 7 years ago doing it. And so we'd make nice handles on there. This has been a Shiraz. And sometimes I got those that have been whiskey barrels, you know, that have got the ember in them. And these are oak, and they come from 4 countries of the world. There's a she oak, and there's also an oak in Tasmania, but Australia initially imported all their barrels. Now they've got a big machine, you just put the timber in, and it does all the bending of the wood, and out comes a new barrel. Down in Adelaide, they've got these big machines. And I've seen them do it, and they just put it in, and there's a lot of water and hot water and cold water, and it just comes, the barrel comes out at the end of the machine. Just amazing. So coopering it's called, and that's where the name Cooper comes from. And sometimes I would do landscaping for people, but why I'm telling you this is because I would try, and I would present them as well as I could at the home show, and that's where I got my clients. I started the business from nothing, so I didn't buy a business, but I registered and started it, and didn't really make any money, because you go into business to make money, but I enjoyed what I did, but they were too heavy in the end. They were about 50 kilos when they're wet, and oh, I think a couple of discs in my back were really playing up on me. So the doctor said, Percy, you just better chuck it in. Someone wanted to buy it, and I said, no, I might never know, I might pick it up again, or maybe my son would like to do it or something, but I loved gardening, so I enjoyed it. Now, what am I saying this for? It's an illustration to show you that normally if you do a presentation, it's a finished deal. You finished it. You say, it's finished. Right? Someone asks you to do a presentation, and you say, you know, it's finished, and then you present it. You always present the finished product. And I used to sell this by that, and then I'd put on the back here, look, all the work done for you. So I would plant it, and most of them are on, you know, like high-rise buildings like this, the top ones, or those that have got the east or northeast orientation, you know. So it was a good job, and a little watering system, and they go away on holidays and still have their barrels. Some people brought 15 of them. I think this lady brought 8 or 9, and we had 2 of those. But it was fun, but it was hard work in the summer. How many know? Doing gardening in the summer is no joke, I tell you. Get home and I'd be just tired, wrung out, and sweated all day. So let's have a look at this particular slide. Let's go into slide 14. It's not on your notes. You've only got 12. All right, look at this one. So here's the same word, paristeme. So what I'm driving at is this. To present you, I beseech, I invite you to present. To present. What does present? Means show yourself as the finished product. So show yourself as the done deal. You are a product of a carpenter who happened to be God. Well, I don't think he did any carpentry. Some people, we don't know. But, you know, some people talk about his callous hands and that. I don't know. But all I know is he did die on a wooden cross and he did rise again. And what I read from these people that are giving right teaching to us in the Bible, because this is a Bible-based church, right? These are not my own, this is not my own ideas at all. I've just discovered that the gospel is so comprehensive and such a finished work that I can rest in it. That's what grace is all about. If you're in a grace church, you'll find that they'll preach about that it's a finished work, because a majority of the church is still marching at the drum beat. You know, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. Now, I was brought up on those, but you know what it did to me? It put struggle into me. That I had to do it. I have decided no turning back. Though no one join me, still I will follow. Well, that put pride into me. So, if only, everyone say, if only. If only someone had told me. And this verse, I would go down to Himatangi Beach in the North Island, New Zealand, every year. For about 10 years, I went down, and I remember I walked on my own, usually moonlight, down there around midnight, and I'd drive down in my little standard car, and I'd get out on the beach and walk along and say, Lord, I'm dedicating, I'm presenting my life again to you this year. And I remember I got engaged, and Diane said, I said, you can't come with me. I said, I'm going to dedicate my life. She said, what? I wish my wife had known Grace, she could have, or we were just engaged, and she said, Percy, it's already been dedicated. Come on, can I hear an amen from the floor, please? Can I hear an amen? My life has been consecrated, dedicated to the Lord. I'm set apart. I am holy. I am righteous. And Paul says, I've taught you all things, this about this, in the light of what I've taught you, now I invite you to present yourself as the done deal. Amen. Give him a hand, please. As the done deal. And, you know, presenting yourself is quite exciting, because my older sister, Linda's older sister too, I hope Linda's not embarrassed me mentioning family members, but her name is Barbara, and she's about well into her 70s anyway. Possibly mid-70s, I guess. Something like that. She came to the home show. This would be 6 or 7 years ago, just before I found Grace. I had this business. And I didn't know she was there. And I knew she was coming, but I didn't know. And I was sitting there, and there was one or two people moseying around having a look at the barrels. You know? And I was waiting for the time to sell them to them. And then she came along. She said, oh, sir. See, and I didn't even look up, because I was talking actually to someone else. She said, sir, these are beautiful. Then she turned to a few other people and she said, wow, these are beautiful. Oh, have a look at this, darling, she said. And before I knew it, there was 20 people standing at my... If you go back to slide 8, please. 7 or 8, please. 8. Go back to slide... go back 6 or 7. 9. Yeah. Next one. Yeah. So there's Don. This is the boutique urban veggie gardens, you know. Look, a great gift idea. So this was just my hobby. But, you know, before long, the place was full of people. And she was saying, oh, aren't they nice? Oh, aren't they beautiful? Oh, what a good... Oh, sir, you are so clever. And this is my sister. And I thought, Barb, you know, I used to call her Barb Ass, you know. But she was no ass that day, I tell you. So in the end, 14 customers came that day. And one lady brought 15 barrels. You know, signed up everything else, and I had to get thrifty truck and take them out. There's a lot of wealthy people out on, you know, hobby farms around Brisbane to line their drive. And I said, oh, and then when she came in, I gave her a hug and I said, that was great. And she said, don't forget, half the profit is mine. She said, but when Jesus did it for the joy, when Jesus did it for the joy, it was before him. He endured the cross. He did the product that he might bring many of us into glory with himself. Give him a hand, please. Okay, so now we're looking at that slide, please. It was slide 14. And I thought of this when I was just praying. What's a good verse? And I remembered, and this one came up in my mind. To whom also, now this is Jesus, he is Jesus. He is Jesus here. It's in Acts 1, and Luke is writing this. He showed, so exhibit, to present, to show. At the show, you have an exhibition. You exhibit. At a display, home display homes, do you have a half-built house or do you have a full-built house? It's even got furnishings in it. That's the finished product. So Paul says, it's all been done for you. Now I invite you to present yourself as the full, complete, finished product. Aren't you glad he yelled out, it is finished? Aren't you glad he said, it is finished? Now in the Greek, that's in the perfect tense. And if you know anything about the perfect tense, that means done once, never to be repeated again. The imperfect tense means repeated every year, like they used to. But perfect tense, done once for all time. Give him a hand, please, because this is very special. Hallelujah. So it says, to whom also he showed. Let me just get a drink of water. The mic can come up a little bit to save my voice. I've got to preach tonight, Toowoomba. So, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion. Now, how did he do it? By many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of things pertaining to God. Now, just imagine, I'll start over this side. Here's Jesus rising from the grave. And he comes in and it says, what does it say? He showed himself alive. Is that what it says? He paristeme, like we are to present ourselves, show ourselves. He comes in, my back. Don't touch me, Thomas. Oh, my side is. I'm alive. You'd say you're acting like a dead person rather than a live person. Do you know what I mean? Now get it. He presented himself alive. Come on. He was fully alive. He presented himself alive. The deal had been done. Hallelujah. He's alive. He's alive. He didn't come out after swooning for a few days. Oh, they stabbed me. Oh, part of the spear. Oh, quickly, Thomas, get your hand and pull the spear. Oh, get me to a doctor, please. A DT will be good. They don't know your name yet, do they? A DT, Dr. Aditi. Oh, get me to Ash. Well, get me to Lily. You know, I mean, finished work. Done. So why are you struggling? So why do I struggle? This healing thing has blessed me, you know, to be healed of something. And, you know, it's brought new energy into my life now because I can sleep properly. I mean, you know, if you can't sleep properly, you're waking up feeling like you're tired. So he showed himself alive. So Paul is saying, present yourself, exhibit, show. Next one. Go right back. Okay, it'll be the next slide. Keep going. No, you're going back the other way now. Okay, can you go please to slide 3? Okay. Slide 3. All right, here we go. Now, could you correct your notes at 613B? 613B. All right? So it just says 6B. 613B. Present, look, so Romans 6:13 is very similar. And your bodily members and faculties to God, presenting them as implements of righteousness. There's that word again. So how do you present yourself? You know, did your mother and father ever say this to you? You don't look presentable. You know, say Eric's going for a famous 10-course Chinese dinner at Sunnybank. And all his business friends are there. Eric gets on his thongs and his shorts and his hair's all roughed up and everything. And Eric goes along, you know, to talk about his business. And you know what? Some people, I don't know. I'm not sure whether Chinese would be so upset about that or not. But they might be. Especially if, say, you know, the Premier of Queensland, she's there and a few other dignitaries are there. You know, what... I know my mother was a stickler for that. With 9 children, she always wanted us to be presentable on Sunday because her sister would give us the once-over. Have a look and see how the Campbells were going and how poor they were, perhaps. You know, did your mother and father ever say you don't look presentable? Hands up. When you wore something. And you know what this feeling is in our side? Sometimes we don't think we're presentable. You know why? Because we haven't agreed, we haven't believed what is being taught. The teaching is right believing equals right living. And right believing comes from right teaching. Do you get it? Grace is the most beautiful, beautiful, loving, wonderful thing that's happened in my life. It's not talking graciously. Grace is understanding the complete, comprehensive, most incredible gift by God. The whole package, the done deal. So you present yourself as what? Next one. Slide 4. Okay. And living sacrifice. Living is like zaho or zao. And zaho, it means like for a lifetime or for your life or to live. And this sacrifice. Now, I used to think that climbing onto the cross and having myself cut in pieces, so I would walk along the beach and say, Lord, I give you my mind. I give you my arms. I give you my thoughts, my emotions, and I present them to you. This is what I did. I didn't tell anybody else about it, but that's how I interpreted this verse. And when it came to a living sacrifice, I thought, God, this is a struggle. This is a big struggle to present myself as a living sacrifice. Who did the sacrificing for you? Did he cover all the areas, healing, well-being, and every area of your life? Did he cover everything? He covered everything. The peace offering means well-being in every area of your life. And then they would come in and they would dance, shalom, shalom, you know, and that's what shalom means, peace. Peace, literally, it's not absence of noise, it means well-being, successful in your relationships, your education, your health, your marriage, your wealth, your friends, your job, etc. All right. So he was the sacrifice for us, okay? And we are now a living sacrifice. What does that mean? We present ourselves now alive in this life, right, as those who have received the sacrifice.
Yes.
Come on. Come on. I just love you to get a smile. It helps me when I preach it. I just love you to feel like you're enjoying this rather than indigestion. All those with indigestion, leave the room, please. Okay. Okay. Listen, you know, it'd be really nice for you to say amen and get this thing, because we present ourselves as the complete product from what was done in his death. And as he rose, so we rise in newness of life. So then we present ourselves. See, it's all about grabbing hold of, what's the word? Imbibing, identifying, that's the word, with what has been done. And you walk in that. So this has brought a beautiful peace into my life. Peace like I've never had before. And this has brought a great freedom from all sorts of things that it would have tried to persuade me in the past to give up or whatever. And look, it says, holy and acceptable. Are we holy? Hands up, those who are holy. Now, are you holy? Well, Jesus said you were. Holy means set apart. You've been set apart. It also means sanctified. How many sanctified believers? You have been. Past tense. All right, so we're holy. Now, what about acceptable? I love this. Look, look, you are restos. You are restos. You want to have a crack at that? You are restos. Doesn't say you are pestos. You are restos. It sounds like an insect spray. You are restos. Get those bugs. You know what it means? Fully agreeable, well-pleasing. You have become well-pleasing to God. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. You've become well-pleasing to God. How many people, if you asked them to fill in a form in Brisbane today, if you said, please tick there or cross there if you feel you're well-pleasing, most people would say, no, I have to strive to do better. I strive to do better. So you see, no wonder he won our rest. Our rest comes when we present ourselves as the done deal.
Amen.
Now, Paul has different ways of saying this. Like, we're just going to study Ephesians now. I'm loving this Bible school because I feel like I'm one of the students. And I just might be 1 or 2 days ahead in my reading than they are. But I'm like a new believer. I feel like I'm a new believer. Even though I've been a Christian over 50 years, 55 years, and a keen Christian. But, you know, I feel like I was a babe. I was a babe until I grabbed hold of this grace and saw really what the gospel is. How many of you believe that the gospel is the foundation of our Christian living?
Yes.
It's the gospel of grace. Any other gospel is not the gospel. It'll put you into striving, into stress. But this one brings you into rest. Oh, glory. So you're well-pleasing. You've been set apart. All these blessings and others not mentioned in these two verses or in our sermon today, have we been won for us by our wonderful Jesus. Let's go to the next slide.
Amen.
So slide number 6, please. No, I want to go into... Yes. Go to slide number 5.
Number 5, is it?
Yeah.
5.
Now it says this, I beseech you therefore, brothers and sisters, I invite you by the mercies of God, that you exhibit yourself as the done deal. You exhibit yourself, you present yourself as a living sacrifice.
Yes.
Sacrifice is all, we used to sing. Or means over. Only one sacrifice, it was done once for all time. Sacrifice is over, living sacrifice. Holy and acceptable, we got that. Which is your reasonable service?
Yes.
Now, that used to get me, Richard. I tell you, that used to get me. Because even when I came into grace, I thought, why would Paul teach all about grace and then try and put me under law when he starts to talk about living it out? Right living. He's taught me how to right believe. He's taught me the right teaching and right believing. He was the greatest, apart from Christ, the greatest grace teacher on this planet. And he died for preaching this message. Whipped 195 times, left for dead 3 times, stones piled over him, suffered incredible. And before that, he killed hundreds and hundreds of Christians for being grace Christians. So this message does stir up people. I tell you what, the devil will do everything to keep you from the real truth. The real truth is it's a done deal. Now look at this. Which is your reasonable service? So I thought, I know about reason and service, but I thought, no, I'm a son now. I'm a son. This is not my service. Now, let's have a look what it says. Strong's is 3050, and it's this word, logikos, or logikos. Logikos. From 3056, rational or logical. Oh, logical means it's the normal thing. If people say, how do I stop this car when I'm learning to drive? Oh, you put your foot on the brake. Oh, that sounds logical. Right? What does a logical thing mean?
Reasonable.
I can't go back to that word because I'm trying to get the word. I know, but what does logical mean?
The obvious.
The obvious is logical. When you go down the beach and you're going to go for a swim, do you keep your best suit on and go into the water? No, the logical thing is strip off a bit and get into whatever, your shorts or whatever, your bathers, all right? So, which is your logical, now service is latria, which means to minister to God, to give him worship. Okay, here, I'm going to act it out now. You guys with me? Because we've got no screens over your side. So here we go. Look, I'm going to act it out. So here we look. Okay, I realize now it's a done deal. I'm presenting myself. I'm going to exhibit myself as the done deal, right? And all of a sudden, from within my heart comes this beautiful thankfulness. Oh, Jesus, thank you. It's the logical thing to worship him when you know it's a done deal.
Yes.
Come on. It's a logical thing to thank him. That's not hard, is it? It's a logical reason thing to do. When you know it's been done for you, your heart just bubbles up in worship. And you go, oh, sakaye maturestaba. You know why? Because tongues is the language of thanksgiving. It's a type of worship. Thanksgiving to God. So there you go. All right, let's get it so far. Let me go now to the next slide. I think I'll go to the next slide. All right, now, verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, have you got it? But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, conform means, Barclay says, don't be squeezed, or is it Phillips' translation, says, don't be squeezed into this world's mold. And do not be conformed to this world. I mean, don't be squeezed into this world's mold. How many of you have been following the American race for the president? How many have been finding it? Okay, those that are retired probably have. The rest of you might not be. Well, I've had a shot at following some of it, and my wife, she's addicted to it. She's away at the moment. But she says, I'm getting home just in time to see whether Hillary wins. And my wife wants to see a woman as the president. Amen? No? You girls been waiting a long time.
I need the right woman.
Okay, yeah, we do. And, you know, Fox News, that's the Republican Party. They have been saying how bad Hillary is, crooked Hillary. She's really bad. You know, she's all these emails. She acid washed them to get rid of all the metadata. Why was she doing that if there was nothing to hide? and they were starting to convince me. Then I turned to CNN, and they said, oh, but Donald Trump, you know, he wants to grope women, and he wants to do this, and they were just woo, woo, woo. If a non-Christian Australian would say dumping S on them, each other. Rubbish, I mean, rubbish. Just dumping rubbish on one another. What a joke. When you've got the hugest, the biggest economy in the world. What a joke. When you think of these two people going at one another. Well, you'll know this week, by the time we get to this day, and this week, you'll know who the new president-elect will be. Hillary's up by 2 points. I tuned in this morning at 4 o'clock. It's up by 2 points. Transform. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. Metamorpho. At school, do you remember metamorphosis? Going from the egg, the caterpillar, the pupa to the butterfly. But that's complete metamorphosis. The cockroach only goes from an egg to a nymph, and then the nymph just goes through a process called ecdysis, where it gets rid of its outer exoskeleton, and finally, you know, it becomes a fully fledged, and it can fly, flying cockroach. Okay, the snake also does a bit of metamorphosis, because the snake doesn't have hands to pull its jumper off. So it sheds its skin. I remember the first time in Australia I had a big aviary with 1,000 birds in at the house where we're living now. And I was losing about 20 a day, and I was buying more birds. And then I found this big snake skin. It was huge. You know? It gave me a fright, even though there was no snake in it. But the snakes have to get rid of their skin as they grow. All right? So it says, be not transformed. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. Metamorpho, it literally means to change. To change. Now, how many know that grace causes you to change from one mindset to another? You change. So if you're here visiting, or if you're just thinking about this church or whatever, grace is not something we're sort of going off on a sideline. Grace is the core of the message of Jesus. And by grace, are you saved? Through right believing in that. Right. So prove that you might prove. It means experience for yourself, or approve of it. Now, when I was a science teacher, I get the kids to do photosynthesis experiments. And it was fun, and I won't say any more, but giving an illustration, you could see with the light, and if you had a bicarbonate a solution, and you put the little round discs of leaves in there, you could time them and see what particular plants could photosynthesize quicker than others and catch the light, etc., if you kept everything else equal. And it was fun. That was grade 12 experiment. Okay? And you could prove things. Science loves to prove things. So this says here, don't be conformed to this world. Be changed, right? Yeah? That you might what? Prove it. Prove that you are the done deal. Hello? You are. You present yourself as the done deal. Walk in it, and you will prove it to be true. That's what it's talking about. I can sense that you're just about finished now, even if I'm not. Okay. And be renewed in your mind. I love this word renew, because it's got this kainosis in it, which is kahinos. And that means, you know, we're a new creation, we're a new covenant people. Okay? And this word is in there, look, kainos, not naos, kainos. And it literally means to be renovated in your mind. Sam, you'll get that one. Sam, that word means to be renewed in your mind, means a renovation. Now, what happens to your house when you renovate? You pull out all the old rubbish and the old sinks, and you put in new things. That's for your mind. That's for your mind. Pull out all that old struggle, stress, can't have victory over sin, can't, you know, just really struggling in my life. Let go and bask and rest in the finished work. Hallelujah. Your mind, nous, mind, understanding, intellect, thought, and will. All right, let's go. Last paragraph of slide 5, please. Slide 5. In my honest opinion, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, having had my eyes open to Christ's complete and finished work. Through his amazing vicarious means done on our behalf, he was our champion, amen. He was our David that killed Goliath. We didn't have to do it. He did it for us. If he didn't, we would have to do it, and we wouldn't be here today. Through his amazing vicarious grace, this is how I believe we should write Romans 1:2. Sound the trumpet. Ba, ba, da, ba. Boop, 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 boop. Okay, slide 7 and 8, please. I invite, read with me slowly. I invite, appeal to you in the light of everything you have read in my letter so far. Everything that I've taught you. Exhibit, present, show yourself as a living, completed, holy, acceptable, well-pleasing, living sacrifice. The done deal. The finished product of Christ's marvelous grace. Next slide. Next slide. This is the logical reason outcome of receiving Christ, and the natural outcome for you is a response of true worship. Do not let this world squeeze you into its mold. Let the Holy Spirit free you from its grip. Instead, by the Holy Spirit's promptings and leadings, be transformed in your mind. Let your mind be renewed, renovated with all the truth that Christ has done for you, that you may approve for yourself, experience for yourself what is this and well-pleasing. Now, this word perfect means completed. Perfect, completed, well-pleasing will of God that has been made available to you. How good and well-pleasing and completed you are in him. Isn't that amazing? So there you go. That's what he was talking about. Better than reading, I beseech you therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Just the English has changed a little bit as it's evolved, and this is more contemporary, but this is really getting to what I feel some of the translators really didn't understand. Some of the translators, when they were rushing to crown the king, King James, it was a hurried coronation, and they had to get this. They had to get the King James hurriedly through. And I feel when you read it, yes, we give them credit that the language has changed, so we read it a slightly different way. But let me tell you, it seems in some of these verses that they missed the whole point of the gospel, and they gave us, as lovers of Christ, a stressful future. A stressful future. All right, let's stand. Now, what I like about healing is this. You know, it says, and by his stripes we are healed. It means by his stripes we are made whole. Whole. We are made whole. Now, wholeness includes not just healing. It includes removal of depression, removal of a whole lot of things in our life. Let's stand together and receive. Hallelujah. Make it yours now. Make it yours. Do not growl at me for having all these Greek words. Do not get uptight about it. We have to get back to a new mindset. This church is not about an old paradigm. It's about getting the new paradigm of grace. All right, let's just receive now. By the Spirit. Just let him renovate your mind. And when you walk out the door, walk out, present yourself now for the rest of your life as a done deal. And when sickness tempts you, when sickness comes your way, you present yourself to the enemy as a done deal. You have been beautifully and wonderfully changed by the work of the cross. Live in it, swim in it, enjoy it, stand strong in it. Paul said in Ephesians, put your clothes on. Put on the new nature. When you get out of bed, present yourself. You don't have to walk around the beach. You don't have to put your hands up, but just know inside, you are the done deal. Walk in the enjoyment of it, everybody. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Enjoy being the finished product.
Amen.
The good barrel of flowers. The beautiful person that you are, well-pleasing to Him. Oh, Father, we give You thanks and we give You praise. Hallelujah. We thank You. And we receive healing. Now, if you're sick, any area of your body, right now, if you're sick, grab hold of by His stripes, Isaiah 53, you have been made whole. It can mean healed, as in cured of disease. It can also mean wholeness in your mind, wholeness in every part of you. Victory I have in Jesus Christ. Forgiveness, for He was crucified. Wholeness in every part of me. Victory, for He has set me free. I'm reigning with Him. Hallelujah. Oh, we love You, Jesus, so much. I pray, God, that this message in us will go through us to many hundreds and thousands of people. And I pray for the well-being of everyone in this church. Not just for those who have turned up this morning, Lord, but for everyone. I pray well-being upon every person in New Creation Church, Brisbane, and all the branches. Bless them with a great presentation of who they are in Christ. And everyone said,
amen.
God bless you. You may be seated or have a cup of tea or coffee or whatever. If any of you here have come special to pray for you, I'm going to pray over here on this side.